And welcome back into the Morning Blitz, GameDaySportsRadio.com. Boji Wood here with you from the GameDaySportsRadio.com studios right south of Atlanta, Georgia. It is Wednesday, January the 2nd, 2019. I've got to get used to this. This is, I'm all mixed up because this should be a Monday, but it's not. It's a Wednesday. But we've still got a great show for you this morning, our first show of the new year. Let's bring in Mike Bernard from OTM Sports, based out of Las Vegas. Mike, how was your New Year's?
It was great, Coach. The results were good. The last 10 bowl games covered 7 out of 10. And also, we had two entries in the Westgate NFL Super Contest. There were 3,500 entries. One of our teams finished in the top 5%, but the other finished top, tied for 35th, and is going to cash.
Oh, that's fantastic. I get a cut of that or anything? Is any of that coming my way for any?
Well, I only get a small cut of it, so maybe I'll give you a small cut of my small cut.
There you go. As long as I'm in there somewhere, it really doesn't matter. So, you know, because I know some of my expert opinion has had to help you guys along the way. I mean, surely, come on now. All right, Mike. Hey,
actually has, especially in college.
Well, let's go ahead and get into the bowl games here. We're going to talk about, we talked before when we were previewing the bowl games about motivation. Some teams are motivated, some teams aren't, and for whatever different reasons. And let's go back, we'll go back to the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. Houston goes into that game facing Army. Army trying to get to their first 11-win season ever. And Houston, after starting out, I believe 7-1, has an injury to their starting quarterback, and then their ship just sinks, so to speak. No pun intended, playing Army, but right. 70-14, Army scored or tied the record, I should say, for the most points in a bowl game, and that humiliating defeat cost Major Applewhite his job.
It did, and Army opened as a 3.5-point favorite. They were bet to 6.5. They won by 56, and their only 5-star in the history of the Houston program, Ed Oliver, he skipped the bowl. Other players were injured. Reports were that, hey, this player's injured, but he could play, but they didn't, and we talked about it in the preview. You do not want to play Army in that triple option if you're not 100% into the game.
No doubt about that, and time wasn't a factor, because usually when you're playing Army, and you can ask Oklahoma this, when you've only got 3 or 4 days to get ready for the triple option, it's tough. Houston had a full, you know, almost a full month to get ready for them, and they were just flat. I mean, they were just as flat as they could be in that game. West Virginia, Syracuse, of course, Major Applewhite leaving. Kind of caused the domino effect as far as coaches go, and Dana Holgorsen is going to be announced later on this week, possibly as early as today, as the head coach at Houston. But in their bowl game against Syracuse, Will Grier, you know, decided not to play. They played a Syracuse team that was highly motivated, wanting to get to 10 wins, and they did, 34-18, and that game really wasn't as close as it sounded. Eric Dungy, Syracuse quarterback, had a great day, 21-30, 303 yards and a touchdown. Looked like the Orangemen said, hey, we're going to use this to springboard into 2019.
Yeah, and not only did Grier skip the game, but his top protector, his offensive tackle, also skipped the game. Coach, this bowl game opened West Virginia minus 6.5. The day of the game, it was Syracuse minus 3. So the line moved 10 points. And it wasn't just because of Grier and the offensive tackle. It was because the odds maker said, hey, look, West Virginia's not ready to play. So, again, the motivated team, Syracuse in this case, gets the win.
A lot of people thought that Jared Stidham, Auburn quarterback, may set out the Music City Bowl against Purdue. However, he didn't, having a great day, 15 of 21, 373 yards, 5 touchdowns. The kind of game that everyone expected Stidham to have the entire season, but he didn't. And Auburn put a shellacking on the Boilermakers, 63-14.
Yeah, and Coach, I wasn't sure if Auburn was going to be motivated here, and neither was most of the public nor the odds makers. Auburn opened, I believe, 5.5. They closed at 3.5, and of course, they just ran Purdue off the field. The most notable thing about this game was watching up front on both sides of the ball, Auburn absolutely dominated.
Mike, we're going to talk about a game that the motivation thing, the looking forward. To me, this game that we're getting ready to talk about, the Peach Bowl, it just personifies this theory. Florida and Michigan. Michigan continues the same route every year since Jim Harbaugh has been there. They have a great run. They lose to Ohio State, and then it all falls apart. Dan Mullen and the Florida Gators, ranked number 10, you know, saying, hey, we are going to be a force in the SEC East. Look out, Georgia. Look out, everybody else. The Gators are on the way back. We're going to make a statement today. And they did in the Peach Bowl, 41-15.
Yeah, it was another dominating performance. Michigan had several players skip the game because, hey, in their eyes, in their minds, they were playing against Ohio State for the Big Ten East title. And I think if Michigan goes ahead and wins the Big Ten, they probably would get in because they didn't have a bad loss like Ohio State did. But Michigan knows that. The same thing happened to Michigan 2 years ago. They lost against Ohio State. They went to and lost against Florida State in the Orange Bowl. So once again, the motivated team beats the non-motivated team, and that's 2 straight years in the Peach Bowl that's been the case.
In the Citrus Bowl, have number 14, Kentucky, number 12, Penn State. A lot of people thought that Penn State would handle Kentucky very easily. I thought they would win the football game, to be quite frank with you. I did not know how Kentucky's offense would stack up against that Penn State defense. Stacked up pretty well. The Wildcats got out of there with a 3-point win, 27-24, and they played well the entire football game.
They really did, and they got up 27-7, so most of the success that Penn State had was against a softer defense late in the fourth quarter. Kentucky was playing for their first 10-win season since 1977. Stoops is building a new culture there. And, hey, you're right. I thought Penn State would win the game. They were favored by 5 or 6, but they lost, and it really wasn't as close as the final score indicates.
LSU Central Florida, of course, the Golden Knights coming in at 12-0, winners of 25 or 26 straight, but doesn't matter now because that streak is over with. LSU, out of the Southeastern Conference, of course, it's 40-32. The Knights were attempting an onside kick to get it and try to throw a Hail Mary into the end zone or what have you, but anybody that watched this game, they understood that LSU, a depleted LSU team, was far better than the Central Florida team.
Very good choice of words, depleted. Coach, at one time, the LSU defense was missing 10 starters. Some had been ejected, some had skipped for a bowl game, others were injured. But the defensive line, their second and third string guys were still blowing up Central Florida. Central Florida was the motivational play here, but LSU either covers by a half or pushes the game thanks to that backdoor, you know, that late touchdown and 2-point conversion by Central Florida. Central Florida, to give them, to be fair, they did have their backup quarterback, but they were just outclassed up front on both sides of the ball.
All right, Mike, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll take a look at the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl right here on the Morning Blitz, GameDaySportsRadio.com.